Our next paper will be 30 years of chloride research in South Dakota wheat production.
Thanks very much for joining me this afternoon. My name is Chris Graham, and I'm with South Dakota State University. And as you can see from my title slide, I'm going to be talking about a fairly extensive data set examining chloride application to wheat in South Dakota. And my role in this is mostly translational. The other folks listed there are the ones that actually did this work. So I think the credit mostly goes to them. Anthony Bly and Dr. Howard Woodard at SDSU and Dr. Paul Thixon, who's at now at IPNI, but was at SDSU at the time when he started all this work. So just a quick background. As a micronutrient, chloride obviously has been known to play an important role in plant development for quite some time. That role, though, is still, I would say, the science underpinning that is still a bit underdeveloped. And so we know a lot of functions, but we don't know precisely how these things work. But still, chloride does act as to balance the charge within the cell membrane and facilitate some osmotic regulation and plays an important role in plant turgor and pH. And finally, it also starts to play a significant role in the suppression of various fungal diseases. And that's appealing for a lot of people, I think, because it could be used as an alternative to, say, fungicides or to help combat some of the various wheat diseases. And again, how that works is difficult to pin down. And a lot of people propose that perhaps it's because of that turgor, for example. But this work in South Dakota really began in earnest back in the 1980s, as I said, by Paul Thixon and his colleagues. And initially they found some response to spring wheat with a response to potassium chloride at levels that were high or as you say, I guess, sufficient in potassium. So they pointed to this chloride issue. Four of the initial six sites were statistically responsive, and they had about a 2-ton per hectare increase. And so from this initial work, they began to expand this. And over about the next 5 years, they went across about 36 different sites. And all of the data seemed to be converging on this about 60 pounds per acre or 67 kilograms per hectare sufficiency level. So they just proposed this a fairly straightforward fertilizer rate would be 67 kilograms per hectare minus your soil chloride. And the correlation was strongest at a depth of 60 centimeters or 2 feet. So they always recommend taking a 2-foot sample. With this, they developed these soil test interpretations. And initially, they just proposed three levels, 0 to 34 kilograms, 34 to 67 kilograms. 0 to 34 was the low, 34 to 67 was the medium rate, and then above 67 would be high. In these initial 36 sites, they found that 69% of the sites in that low category, 0 to 30 pounds, 0 to 34 kilograms, was responsive to chloride. So it was about 69%, 31% in the medium, and then, of course, no response at the high rate or high soil chloride level. So beyond that, after this initial work, they continued to do some of these studies for the next about 9 years between 1997 and 2010. They continued with these studies, and in the original work, they found that there was a very strong variety interaction. So some varieties were very sensitive to chloride, whereas others no response at all. So as I said, these 9 years, which is what I'm going to be focusing on for the rest of the talk, we're done at the research farm in near South Dakota State University in eastern South Dakota. Just had a single location I wanted to note. And they focused on spring wheat. And they were looking at a very simple split plot, different varieties as the block, and then either the addition or the control for chloride. And over these 9 years, what they found is that adding chloride increased the yield by about 0.1 tons per hectare. That's across all 9 sites, or all 9 years, excuse me. And they found, again, they found this treatment by year effect, which basically some years chloride worked, some years it didn't. And a treatment by variety by ear. So again, there's a variety response, and then sometimes that variety responded in years, and some years, and sometimes it didn't respond. So it's a little messy. But for those responsive sites, they found an average increase of about 0.22 tons per hectare, or 3.5 bushels per acre. So when you can predict that response, the yields are significant. And the largest yield response was 0.3 tons in 2000, which corresponds to the lowest soil chloride, which is about 2 kilograms per hectare. From these sites, though, we found that about 47% of the sites, or the years in very low, that was the 0 to 17 kilograms soil chloride, 47% of the time those responded positively statistically to the chloride addition. And then just 11% in the low to medium range. So it was different for this particular site than Fixon's original work. And this just kind of shows that graphically. What you have on the x-axis there is just the soil chloride at planting. And then on the y-axis is the yield difference. So the chloride yield minus the no chloride yield. And the big trend there, obviously, is that as you increase your chloride in the soil at planting, you have a downward decline or a downward trending slope, and in fact, if you can see the zero, so equal yields here, so you can start to see that they even dip below and go to a decrease in yield. Now, the thing that I was saying before about that is primarily all these responses occurred at this 20 kilograms and lower. Which would be considered the very low category, and with the exception of just one response outside of that here. So as I mentioned, variety response to chloride there was a chloride interaction with varieties, and that occurred in 10 out of 28 cases. So to be more clear, there were 28. Over the 9 years, there were 28 varieties, but those are not unique varieties, if that makes sense. So 10 times out of those 28, there was a positive response. And then on the other end, 2001 started at very high, 60 kilograms per hectare. And so what they did was they applied 50 kilograms on top of that, and they found a significant yield decrease in 4 out of the 5 varieties. And Marshall, which was known to be sensitive, it was kind of the canary in the coal mine for chloride, was the most extreme, and so it responds, is very sensitive to chloride on both the high and the low end. And so we did just a very quick economic, kind of a quick and dirty summary on some of the economics of these last 9 years. And based on $400 per ton of potash, which works out to about 89 cents per kilogram of chloride, and using a $5 per bushel or $183 per ton wheat price, we found that on average, that 0.22 tons for responsive sites, for just those responsive sites, we found a net loss of $6.73 per hectare for those sites. And from this, assuming an average increase in chloride, it didn't make a lot of economic sense in this research if more than 20 kilograms had to be applied per hectare. And again, that would be based on that proposed fertilizer, that 67 minus your soil chloride rate. In contrast, Fixon et al. Showed a $4.50 gain for every dollar invested in their chloride response. And there's a couple caveats and things I want to add here. From originally, so the price of potash has fluctuated significantly since the 1980s. In that time between now and then, based on our prices and the prices that he used, wheat price has risen about one factor of 1.3, whereas the potash price has risen by a factor of 2.7. So they're not keeping pace. Several other caveats to note: we don't include any addition of the nutrients that you would combine with chloride, for example, potassium or ammonium or calcium, whatever it might be. So we don't take into effect any of those things. This is just looking at the chloride. And second, they found in a lot of their original work that, you know, there are some knock-on effects when you apply chloride. So year two, year three, you have some of these, the benefits from that initial application, which we don't consider here. So, but the main thing was that there's this large discrepancy in the prices of the two between those two time periods. So this is just showing those responsive years. This one, I'll point out really quickly, it does kind of skew the results. We had a fairly large response in this one year where very little chloride was required. So at that point, it was actually quite positive. But then you look at a few years earlier where you don't have much response and a lot of chloride applied. So just to conclude, it's a very wordy slide. We show that and continue to show that chloride does increase yields in wheat, spring wheat. However, there's a lot of uncertainty is in terms of when that it will elicit a positive response and to what extent, or is that going to match the dollars that you will put into it. Overall, over the previous nine years, we saw a 0.1 ton per hectare gain, but when there was a response, 0.22 tons per hectare response. And I threw this in there because, in their original work, they talked about the difference between a nutrient deficiency and a nutrient insufficiency. And the former really is where yields are severely limited, as opposed to nutrient insufficiency, where you're just not maximizing your yields. And for this particular site, the latter, the insufficiency, is much more the case. And but I wouldn't want to, extrapolate that out much farther than that area. And of course, there's a small limited data that indicate that over-application could be problematic as well. However, there's other studies that have shown that they could add much more than what was added here and didn't see those effects. So in combination of those, we're kind of suggesting that chloride maybe shouldn't be an automatic response in your fertilizer programs, particularly without soil testing. And on the other end, it may be the soil test may be more likely to eliminate sites that you would apply chloride to. And so, as I was saying, it would be much more beneficial when you're applying chloride if you have the benefits or needed calcium or potassium or whatever that accompanying nutrient is with the chloride that would boost the economic return on that. So thanks very much, and I'll go ahead and close there.
Is there any time for a question or two if anybody has any?
Many years ago, Jackson and Oregon showed that the chloride response was due to root rot. Is it the same problem here?
No. So that was the take-all root rot is not a primary concern. Or I guess I should say it wasn't identified as and that's difficult in and of itself. But we didn't. I think that the more the focus was on the rust and the septoria and those sorts of diseases.
What kind of soil texture was this
spring fertile? I'm sorry, that's a silt loam.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you.
Thanks.